From WBEZ Chicago and PRX, this is Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot.
And I'm Jim DeRogatis. This week, we're joined in the studio by one of the best new bands we've heard in ages, The Regrets.
Music is the one thing in the world that's a universal language. And because of that, it's one of the most powerful things.
Plus, singer-songwriter Frank Turner tells us about one of the first songs he learned to play on guitar.
My initial experience of playing music was in leading sing-alongs for my friends.
That's all coming up on Sound Opinions. You're listening to Sound Opinions, and coming up on the show, a performance and a chat with The Regrets. Greg, this was my album of the year in 2017, their debut recording. They're ridiculously young, just out of high school, from Los Angeles. You love them as well.
I do, Jim. That's going to be later on in the show, but first we've got a fresh batch of what we call buried treasures. This is music that's kind of flying under the radar, but we feel everybody needs to hear it. Jim, you want to start us off?
I am eager to get us going, Greg. We recently did a show about our discoveries from the South by Southwest Music Festival. We love doing these shows. I have more bands that I came back with that I'm eager to share with our listeners. I'm walking back. It's late at night. I'm dog tired. I am passing what is called, during South by Southwest, the British Music Embassy. What's nice about that club? You know, capacity 150, right? But there's no front to the club.
Right.
So you can just stand in the street and listen. And I heard this band, Shopping. Now, I had heard of them before. Formed in 2013 in the UK, wonderful guitarist Rachel Aggs, really strong rhythm section, Billy Easter on bass, Andrew Milk on drums. They are rooted in that wonderful no-wave New York sound of the very early 80s, just post-punk. I'm thinking of groups like ESG and the Au Pairs, a little bit of the Slits, kind of a funk sensibility, but played with minimalist punk chops. Really incredible stuff. Their third album they're on, recorded in the Scottish Highlands by producer Edwin Collins of Orange Juice. Wonderful, wonderful kind of new wave era funk band. But the topic at hand right now is Shopping. I had been sampling them online. They were a topic for more research to come. And then I saw them live. Wow! Rachel Aggs has a sort of polystyrene of X-ray specs intensity on stage. They just sucked me right in. And I'm standing in the street. And I'm even sort of, I will say, almost dancing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. You will hear it on this track. Wild Child from Shopping. The album's called The Official Body on Sound Opinions. We'll be right back. wild child, a buried treasure that should be buried no longer, Greg. The band is called Shopping. What do you got?
Jim, I don't know if this necessarily qualifies as a buried treasure, but I did not want this record to slip by us or our listeners. If you are not familiar with the wonders of Hot Snakes, you need to start paying attention again. First album in 14 years from this band. They're led by one John Reese, who is an underground figure in San Diego. It's one of those guys that when you think of a particular town and you happen to be in underground music over the last 30 years, he's one of those guys you immediately think about. His two best-known bands are probably Drive Like Jehu and Rocket from the Crypt from the 90s. And those bands were phenomenal. Hot Snakes was kind of a spin-off band from those two bands that he did with his high school friend, Rick Froberg. And they made three really fine albums in the late 90s, early 2000s, then broke up. Reese has thrown a lot of his energy into running his own record label. But in recent years, they've started playing a few live shows together again, and they've finally come out with a new studio album called Jericho Sirens. I want to play a track from it that sort of exhibits their timeless appeal, this sort of pummeling aggression. If you are a fan of hardcore, if you are a fan of garage rock, you need to know about the Hot Snakes if you don't know about them already. I talked to Reese a few weeks ago, and he's saying, you know, I'm a guitar player who writes songs on guitar. Mm. This is what I was put on earth to do. I want to trample people with my downstrokes and suffocate the listener with velocity and rhythm. That is music to my ears.
How could I have not have known of this guy? Of course I knew Drive Like Jehu and Rocket from the Crypt, but man, I got to listen.
Yeah, this is Jericho Sirens is the name of the album. Hot Snakes is the band. Here's a song called Six Wave Hold Down on Sound Opinions. Hot Snakes with a track called Six Wave Hold Down from their first new album in 14 years called Jericho Sirens. Jim, what is your next pick?
Greg, another discovery I made at South by Southwest. I don't know how he escaped me previously. A young singer-songwriter in his late 20s named Kyle Kraft. Who grew up in Louisiana, where he was the grandson of a bluegrass player, used to sneak into the Baptist church that his family made him attend and play with the piano, which he thought was the most wonderful little weird musical magical box he'd ever discovered. Strong guitarist, really great Rolling Stones in their 70s heyday kind of musical approach and Dylan-esque lyrics. Okay, now, for any rock critic who says that, you know, that there should be an alarm buzzer, okay? You either pull off that kind of Dylan-esque pseudo-beat wordplay or you don't. There are plenty in the indie hipster underground who think he doesn't pull it off, and they've kind of been dumping on him. But man, I mean, just listen, was she the train wreck? Was she your last drag? Was she the cure-all or just the disease? He sings a lot about women, women who done him wrong in the great blues Rolling Stones tradition, but he does it with this kind of Dylan beat poetic wordplay. I saw him live. I had not listened to the records before, and now I'm all about them. The official second album, Full Circle Nightmare, just came out on Sub Pop, produced by Chris Funk of the Decemberists. It's a real treat, I think. This song is called Fever Dream Girl. It kicks off that new record. Here's Kyle Kraft on Sound Opinions.
Was she the train wreck? Was she your last drag? Was she the little piece of mind you thought you once had? Was she the cure-all or just the disease? Was she the ransack, gutter kid, denim jeans? Maybe the money spent, maybe the bad nights, maybe the deep wound left behind the spider bite. Jezebel dog treat. Was she the warhead or the backpacker? Was she death itself or whatever comes after? Maybe a sucker punch, maybe the common threat, maybe the gray teeth pulling on a cigarette, maybe the absolute, maybe the in-between, maybe a fortune teller with no one there to read. And she waits and she knows herself too well. She stares at her hands but still can't. Trophy wife, was she the wanderer? Was she the only spell in life that you've been under? Was she the broken string or the whole symphony? Maybe the upright, perfectly out of key. Maybe a tar pit filled up with ancient bone. Maybe the footsteps you hear when you're home alone. Maybe the prize bird losing its feathers. Maybe the glue that just won't hold your fish together.
Fever Dream Girl from the new album by Kyle Kraft, Full Circle Nightmare. Greg, you have one more buried treasure for us.
I do, Jim. I'm glad we're getting a chance to do a segment like this because we saw so many great bands at South by Southwest that we did not get a chance to mention in our official South by Southwest Music Festival show. This is one of those bands that I wasn't able to get to the first time around, but I did see them at South by in Austin, Texas. Incredibly well worth it. All the way from Poland. Don't come to North America much. I think this may have been their first visit here. I could be wrong about that. It's certainly the first time that I saw them.
One of the lands of your heritage.
Yes, indeed. Troopa Troopa is the name of the band.
Away. To me.
That translates into corpse, corpse. You can tell right away.
Set up beat band, okay.
You've got some very dark humor here, if you can call it humor at all. Sometimes the line is blurred between what is humorous and what is really dire. The singer in the band, Grzegorz Kwiatkowski, is a poet, is a published poet. And right away you're thinking a pretentious guy. No, it's really pithy poetry, really funny, really dark in the way that only an East European poet can be. This is a man who brings a band to town, and the guitar player has fashioned his guitar out of a empty fuel can, a sort of a jerry-rigged instrument. It reminded me a lot of that East European post-punk scene, Plastic People of the Universe, mm-hmm. Polnosh, those kind of bands. In that vein, dark, progressive, psychedelic songs with this really pithy, poetic wordplay. It was a terrific combination. It would certainly work for me. Their third album is called Jolly New Songs. The They are certainly not jolly. They are new songs, but they're not jolly. And a song called To Me. I talked about the poet in the band. He enunciates exactly three words in the entire song and repeats them. But they're very powerful words. In the context of the song, they become even more powerful. Trupa Trupa from Poland with a song called To Me on Sound Opinions.
Away. To me, away, to me.
That is Trupa Trupa, one of my buried treasures from Poland, with a song called To Me on Sound Opinions. And as always, we want to hear from you. What new music have you discovered that we need to be listening to? Give us a call and leave a message on our hotline at 888-859-1800. Up next, one of our favorite recent discoveries, The Regrets in Our Studio. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.
Everybody wants some of that. Some reason you still don't know. You're gonna have to let this one go. You think you're such hot that everybody wants some of that. Some reason you still don't know. You're gonna have to let this one go.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot. My partner's Jim DeRogatis. That music you're hearing is from The Regrets, a young Southern California-based band that blends this incredible energy, evoking Bikini Kill, Riot Girl era punk, with the harmonies of the Ronettes, very much girl group style of the early 60s, to great effect. They have these lyrics that are brash, bold, confident.
Absolutely, Greg. And their debut album, which needs to have that exclamation point, Feel Your Feelings, Fool, was my number one album of 2017. This is bubblegum punk that has a real message, fits very well in the hashtag MeToo moment. The quartet is led by Lydia Knight. She joined us here in the studio. While on stage, her band is all about volume and attitude. They played a special acoustic set here that still had that signature energy.
We have Lydia Knight on lead vocals and guitar. We have Janessa Gariano on guitar. We have Sage Chavez on bass. And we have Max Morando on drums. What a band. And debut record came out earlier this year, Feel Your Feelings, Fool. The exclamation point is very important, too.
That is emphatic. Yeah. Gotta say it like Mr. T.
Exactly. such a timely record with been going on this year.
Totally.
Politically and otherwise, socially. And none of it was on your radar or any of our radars when this record was being written and recorded.
I'm actually a psychic. So I knew all of this was going to happen. I knew Trump was going to be our president, and that's why I wrote these songs. I knew it was coming.
So Lydia, when you were performing these songs with you and your bandmates, what kind of response are you getting? Do you feel that people are... are somewhat empowered by these songs.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, like, it's just crazy now that we've gotten to a point where at most shows we play, people know the words. Just to see someone singing your lyrics back at you is one of the weirdest, coolest feelings ever. And I think we've gotten a pretty great response so far. I mean, our songs are just super relatable, so I feel like it's easy for people to connect and get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. There's a directness there in the lyrics that I think people can relate to.
Yeah.
You know, people would, I guess, classify it as a sort of a pop punk record, but that can mean many things these days.
Yeah, totally.
And as I said, kind of presaging what is happening in our country right now. Very timely, one of the finest debut albums of the year.
Thank
of
you.
Recent times, actually.
Thanks.
The Regrets with Feel Your Feelings Fool. You know, we can talk for a bit, but I think it's important for people to hear this music.
Great.
So what would you like to play for us first?
Let's do Juicebox, yeah? Okay, this song is called Juicebox Baby. You ready, Max? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you good?
The Regrets with Juicebox Baby from their first album, Feel Your Feelings Fool. And kind of a back porch hootenanny feel with the acoustic guitars. That's very cool.
Thank you.
So normally this is a full-on electric,
high-energy,
high-voltage rock show that we get when we see The Regrets. But this is really cool because we're in a different mode today, right, Lydia?
Yeah, vulnerable mode.
Yeah. What do we got? So you went with the acoustic lineup today, right?
Yeah. Shows a very different side of it. I think you can hear a lot of things in a lot of lyrics and stuff that you don't normally hear because we're really loud usually.
Sure.
So it's kind of nice to strip it down.
A lot of pop elements in the music.
Yeah.
You know, you hear everything from, you know, girl group vocal type stuff on the
totally.
Record. There's a Salt and Pepper reference in there. There's definitely some Bikini Kill references as well when we get to the punk side of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So you're bringing a lot in. And, you know, it needs to be said, you're all young people. You're teens largely, right? Most of you are
only,
in your teens?
Actually, only two of us.
Two
I'm
left.
17. Two left. There's two of us left.
Two left in
I'm
the teenager
17
room.
And Max is 19.
Okay. And but still making music for quite a long time. Lydia, you've been writing songs since you've been...
Over 10 years, for sure.
So
since I was six.
This diversity, are you all sort of bringing this to the package where it's this, you know, history of rock, really?
Yeah, I think musically, sure. Everyone brings something totally different to the table. All of our influences are super different, so We always talk about the fact that we all love the same artists and the same bands, just at different levels, and we're inspired by them in just kind of different ways.
Mm-hmm. And you can hear them in our music in different ways, too.
Yeah, and in our different, like, parts. Like, you'll hear Janessa will write a guitar part that's super, like, bluesy or, like, mm-hmm. something, because that's just, you know, what she loves. On this past record, I'll say, a lot of the melodies very reminiscent of girl groups, because mm-hmm. in our harmonies, because that's the music that I've just always loved.
Hey, I got news, I'm not doing too bad. Even though sometimes I might get real mad. You're talking to me like a child. My words are growing stronger, and my legs keep getting longer.
You know, it blows me away. I remember talking to you almost a year ago now,
yeah.
For the first time, Lydia, and you were mentioning that your dad took you to
Donna's?
Fats Domino.
That's when I was like 2 or 3.
Wow.
And that's my first memory, actually.
Blue Monday.
It seemed like you were born to play this music, because one of your first childhood memories is Fats Domino.
Yeah.
You said your second show was
The Donnas.
Yeah.
Which was when I was 5.
So you went from like the beginning to the future.
Yeah.
In like the span of 2 shows.
Totally.
And what was it about the Donnas? Obviously, it was inspiring for a number of reasons.
Well,
right?
First of all, just seeing an all-female band, I just thought it was so cool. Like, I was like, they look so cool right now, and I want to look as cool as them and be as cool as them. And I just remember the feeling of seeing it and thinking, I'm doing that. There's a letter I just found that I wrote to myself. I had to be 5 because I was in kindergarten. Everyone was writing about their futures and what they wanted to be. And I said, when I grow up, and my spelling obviously was like when was like W-A-N. When I grow up, I'm going to be a singer and guitar player in a rock and roll band.
Uh-huh. Wow.
That's what I'm always going to do.
Remember?
I told you I'm psychic.
You willed it into being.
Yeah.
Lydia, could you just give us a quick overview of how the band came together?
So we all met when we were much younger at School of Rock, a music program school thingy.
In Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. And they're all around the country,
sure.
But the location we went to was in Los Angeles, because that is where we live. And then we all lost touch, and we all randomly ended up playing a show together. The 3 of them were in a band, and then I was in a 2-piece. Shortly after that, my 2-piece split up, and I shimmied my way on into their band. It's crazy.
I don't know if you want me to tell this story, but like, I remember being in the bathroom at that show, and Lydia was in there.
Oh, that's fine. I don't care.
Yeah. And she was like, guys, I don't know what to do. Does anyone have a tampon? And like, that just sparked everything back up again. And
we were back, baby.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that was just like a great little moment. And
I remember that.
And then we got a call from her, and she was like, guys, I don't know what to do.
Join me.
Yeah. Join the dark side.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you know then that it was going to work? I mean, was it sort of like, okay, we got to figure this out and see if it'll work? Or was it?
We had one rehearsal and we were like, okay, this is cool.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, you don't know going into something like that. We hadn't played together in years.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it'd be fun to play with another situation. And it was still the 3 of us that had been playing. And so it made sense to do something. It was just kind of exciting.
Yeah, our first rehearsal was super easy.
It was so easy. It was
like
so fast.
We started playing How It Should Be was the first one we started.
Which is on a record.
Yeah.
I don't want you, 'cause I don't need you. Oh, I felt today what it's like when you're away.
it just felt so natural instantly, and I remember getting like goosebumps.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, perfect. I feel free.
After a short break, we'll continue our conversation with the Regrets in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.
I've got pimples on my face and grease in my hair and prickly legs. Go ahead and stare. And ass full of stretch marks and little boobs. An ice full belly that's filled with food. Sometimes I'm pretty and sometimes I'm not. So let's take a listen at me with your best shot. I don't exercise and I don't read books, so if you want to criticize me, go ahead and take a look. Hey, I'm not being bossy, I'm just saying how I feel it. I'm not a bitch for stating what is real. Sometimes I'm girly and sometimes I'm not. So
welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot here with my partner, Jim DeRogatis, and that's a bit of A Living Human Girl by The Regrets. This week we're joined by the California Quartet, and that song in particular has served as kind of a calling card for them at many of their sets. It's an unapologetic song about self-love from a young woman, and it has resonated with their audiences. I continued our conversation by asking the band's leader, Lydia Knight, about the process of writing that song.
So I wrote it in a time where I just was super duper insecure. I was starting high school. I had gone to the same school for 9 years with like 30 kids in my class who like were the same 30 kids. So I was super sheltered pretty much to kind of my perfect little Santa Monica bubble. Moved to LA, like deep in it, and went to a huge public art school, which was amazing. And like I met, you know, so many incredible people, but it's also such a shock. All of a sudden, I started thinking about things I'd never thought about before, like weight, just stuff that just didn't matter to me when I was younger. And that doesn't matter, I'm sure, to a lot of people when they're younger, and then starts to kind of come up. Still something that's hard for me. And, you know, it's a constant kind of battle. I've never said this in an interview before, but I feel like it's relevant and I doubt the person will hear it. But I'd written the song when I was in a two-piece, and she hated it. She refused to play it.
Oh.
She wouldn't play it live because she hated it so much. And it was so important to me. And that's, I think, what led to us breaking up, this song. And that's the song where our manager found us because of this song. And that's how literally our record label, everything has come from that song. And it's so important. And that's how, like, just everything started with that song. And it's just, I don't know, the world works in really weird, cool ways. And it's cool that such an important song brought us here.
It's sort of self-deprecating. It's not painting the narrator of the song as this superwoman.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you're flawed and you're proud
of
those
flaws. And
that's
what makes you a superwoman.
Yeah. Right,
it's like those are the things that, you know, like every single woman and man has things about themselves that they don't like physically. And it's just a thing. That's just how we are, you know. No one talks about, you know, like getting little red bumps on your legs after you shave and how embarrassing that can be, or like, like just random things that like no one talks about, but everyone is dealing with. Like, why is it so weird? Like, why are people embarrassed about that? Like, that's not, you don't have control of that.
I mean, obviously there was a breakup in a band because of that song. When you heard it, did you relate to
that? That was the song that made me want to hop on Lydia's music train.
Like, hop on this train.
The feelings of being inadequate start in elementary school. I was an incredibly insecure, shy kid. And so that's the song that when I heard it, I wished I had had that. And having someone who, even like as a song, feel like it's on your side, I wanted to like be a part of that to make sure that got out into the world, because I just truly think that's, it's so important.
It's holding a mirror up. It's not just accusatory. It's kind of like, okay, I'm owning up to everything that I am.
Mm-hmm.
Sage, I need to bring you in on this as well. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts when you first heard the song?
Yeah, it's super powerful, and I wished I had it when I was going through the bulk of my insecurities and the bulk of my depression and problems that happen when you're growing up. And I'm just so glad that so many people can now at least feel a little more comfort in knowing that other people go through the same things and we're insecure about the same things, and that's okay too. We're all going on this journey of figuring out how to love ourselves, and I don't think that's ever going to end. I think no matter how old you get, you're always going to fight with trying to accept yourself for who you are.
Well, it's interesting what you're saying. You know, high school sort of magnifies these things. There's a constant sense of scrutiny for young women.
When she walks through the halls, it's like a swarm of flies. Nobody can seem to get enough of those green eyes, because the girls want to be her and the boys wish they could tap. That chick who's always up to something and isn't on the map. Hey, I heard her mom is famous. I heard she does trapeze. She's the girl that everyone knows needs no charities.
It's just kind of a lead into what the rest of their lives are going to be like.
Yeah.
You find out that it doesn't stop because they got out of high school. It's like,
it's just concentrated.
It's only magnified in the world. Feel your feelings, fool. One of the best records of the year. one of the best debut records, certainly, in quite a while. You want to play another song for us?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Ooh.
We're going to play a spooky song.
Ooh.
This one is called Pale Skin. Okay. Ready? Yeah.
Falling to my
Pale Skin from the Regrets on Sound Opinions. Getting a little gothy there.
We never get to do that song.
Definitely sets a mood.
Yeah.
That's cool. Susie and the Banshees, they want to cover that song now, I think. I want to wrap up by sort of, you know, bringing it back to where we started. Obviously, mm-hmm. there's a political aspect to all music, but
yeah, well, there should be.
Does music have the ability to move the culture and the world in any way? I mean,
yeah.
you know, it's hard always, to have that perspective, but do you
I
feel
really
like
think I really think you, music is the one thing in the world that's a universal language, and because of that, it's one of the most powerful things, and I really believe that, and I think that. Why it's so powerful is you can go through something and be dealing with something and listen to a song and it changes it. Fans and people, like, they feel close to you when they listen to your music, especially ours is super vulnerable and, like, and we want that. It's like you can be friends with someone and be there for them without ever meeting them and ever having contact with them.
I think a lot of the power comes from, like, the confidence that your lyrics exude is a confidence that I think the nation needs and the world needs, and I think that's kind of what's going to fight against all this negativity. Like, I think feeling little is what where the hate is coming from. You don't come through like you say you do. Now I don't need you to, cause I don't need you. You don't come through like you say you do. Now I don't need you.
Well, you mentioned, Lydia, seeing the Donnas at an early age, and even though they're not a political band, what they did for you that night was a political act.
Totally, and that's the other thing is, like, the fact that people have come to us and been like, I'm starting a band because of you, or I wrote this song because of you, like, that in itself is changing something and doing something on a small scale, but it's something. It's like, even if there's one little girl like I was at the Donna's concert that comes and sees us play and becomes a musician, is, you know, and you change people's lives. Like, you have that ability through music. You can't do that through anything else. Like, it's so crazy.
Well, there's no better way to end this interview than with that statement. I know I said that you are cute and sad.
That was The Regrets live in the Jim and Kay Maybe Performance Studio for Sound Opinions. And now we want to hear from you. Were you ever a teenager just trying to find your place in the world? Tell us about the music you connected with and why. Let us know on our hotline, 888-859-1800, or find us on Twitter or Facebook.
History's been leaning on me lately. I can feel the future breathing down my neck.
You're listening to Be More Kind, the title track from the forthcoming record from British singer-songwriter Frank Turner.
In a world that has decided that it's going to lose its mind, be more kind, my friends. Try to be more kind.
Now, Frank got his musical start in the hardcore scene, and while he's more likely to perform an acoustic set these days, the intensity and the ethos of punk are still very much with him. We recently talked with Frank for Hooked on Sonics, our feature where we talk with musicians about the song that got them interested in making music in the first place. And while Frank listened to a lot of metal and punk while he was growing up, it was a very different song that he first mastered on the guitar.
My name is Frank Turner. I'm a singer-songwriter from England, and the song that got me into music was Round Here by Counting Crows.
Step out the front door like a ghost into a fog where no one notices the contrast of white on white. And in between the moon and you, angels get a better view of the crumbling difference between wrong and right.
When I was a kid, my first love was metal and thrash and stuff like that. And I got a guitar for Christmas and you know, and some tab books for Iron Maiden records and that kind of thing. And thrash is quite hard to play. At the same time, my older sister had got into August and Everything After, the first Counting Crows record, and it was on constantly in her room. And the Counting Crows songs are generally written with open chords. They're quite simply structured and simply played songs. So I ended up kind of learning to play a bunch of Counting Crows songs, partly because that meant I could play something on the guitar that sounded coherent, and partly because it pleased my sister. It's not just that it's a beautiful melody that's a beautifully constructed song, though it is that as well. Beyond that, I mean, the sort of the message of the song being, you know, from a small town and oscillating between affection for it and feeling slightly trapped by it in a quite a sort of Springsteenian, is that a word? Quite a Springsteenian kind of way. Really resonated with me because I grew up in the middle of nowhere. I could really identify with those ideas. You know, round here we're never sent to bed early, and we, you know, nobody makes us wait. It's like there was a lot of that kind of thing which really kind of hit home for me.
She says it's only in my head. She says, shh, I know it's only in my head.
Counting Crows is an interesting band internationally in terms of their regard, because I'm aware that over here they're a much more sort of mainstream proposition. In the UK, I mean, August and Everything After was quite big, but they've always sort of been quite a credible sort of all-country band in the UK in terms of how the regard that they're popularly held in. So it's whenever I talk about Counting Crows in America, some people sort of slightly raise an eyebrow and go, ugh, because they're put in the same category as like Matchbox 20 and stuff like that. Whereas, you know, from where I'm sitting, they're much more in the kind of Ryan Adams kind of school.
Right here.
One of the things that informs the music I make and the way I go about making it these days is my initial experience of playing music was in leading sing-alongs for my friends. So I learned to play songs that everybody in our little circle knew. So starting with Counting Crows, but you know, I'd learn a Soul Asylum song that had been on the radio, or I'd learn the first Weezer album and stuff like this. I mean, partly because these are easy songs to play, but also because they're well-written songs that everyone can sing. And my role in the group, it wasn't like I was playing shows. It wasn't like shut up and this to me. It was like, I've learned the chords to this so that we can sing it together. And I think that sort of collective spirit is quite a strong strand in the music I make now.
That was Frank Turner talking about the Counting Crows Round Here, the song that got him hooked on Sonics. Greg, what's on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, we are going to dive deep into the history of one Captain Beefheart, why he matters, why you should pay attention to this guy.
You know there's something. The moon was a stone's throw.
Greg, we have special thanks to Adam Yaffe and Andrew Gill, who helped with our session with the Regrets. Sound Opinions is produced by Brendan Banizak, Alex Claiborne, and Ayanna Contreras. On Sound Opinions, everyone's a critic. So now it's time to hear what you have to say.
How do you say okay? messages.
Hey, Jim and Greg. Garrett calling from New Haven, Connecticut. Who doesn't like Exile on Main Street, right? It was a great episode, great dissection. And I just wanted to mention one thing people sometimes don't point out about Exile is that's the album where Keith acquired the Telecaster that we associate with him now, the one he calls Macabre. I think the sound of that guitar sets it apart from the albums before it. If you listen to, like, the chunky rhythms on, you know, Can't You Hear Me Knockin'. And then you compare it to, like, kind of skinnier rhythm intro to Rocksoft. I think that is really one of the differences between Exile and the albums that came before. You know, I think it's just a little musical element that sets Exile apart.
Hi, this is Casey from Philadelphia. I just listened to the Rolling Stones' Exile Main Street album dissection. It was refreshing and awesome to hear you guys take such a deep look at my all-time favorite Stones record. One song I didn't hear highlighted that I believe deserves a little notoriety is Sweet Virginia. Look at it just for what it is lyrically. It's easy to dismiss it because it's all about drugs and drug references. But I think when you peel back the layers and get between the music, what you hear on the album is the first time the Rolling Stones were singing country music and not doing it tongue-in-cheek. Yeah, they had done a lot of before, especially all of Beggar's Banquet, but it was always sort of with a bit of, you know, humor to it. And even though this song was not exactly a very serious song, the way Mick is singing these hooks, the way Keith is playing these guitars, it definitely shows that Alan Parsons' influence that you guys were mentioning and shows them that they've finally discovered country music for what it is and can be. Great music in general. Thank you.
Hello, Jim and Greg. This is Clay in LaGrange, and I'm calling after listening to your Exile on Main Street episode. My story about that is when I was a kid, we had this store called DJ Corvette, which had the best record selection around. And I just remember staring at that Exile on Main Street record, trying to figure out what was going on with it. I was 12 years old at the time, but anyway, my grandmother gave me $10 for my birthday, and the first thing I did was run and buy that record. Well, I've probably listened to that record 10,000 times, and I just remember the first time I put it on, my mom was in the kitchen making supper, and when Rip This Joint came on, she ran into the living room and started doing the jitterbug to my embarrassment. All right, thank you. Bye.
Jim and Greg, thanks so much for touching on Exile. It was a game changer for me as a young person. And a short anecdote. Tickets went on sale for Chicago. They stuck us behind the stage in, I don't know, it was probably six or seven rows. Why I'm calling is because not only was it a remarkable concert, but Stevie Wonder and his band was the warm-up group, and we were looking down on a stage that was painted white with a big red dragon kind of carving itself around the stage, and Stevie went on to play, I think, every instrument on the stage. It was such a remarkable evening, and certainly Exile Live was pretty much an epiphany for me. Thanks again for acknowledging the album. It was simply and still is precious. Thanks.
No more messages.
To share your opinions on Sound Opinions, call 888-859-1800. We'll be back next week on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and distributed by PRX.